Brent Musburger joins us on Sports Byline, one of sports broadcasting's most accomplished broadcasters, and for five decades he has broadcast every major sporting event, Super Bowls, Final Fours, BCS Championship Games, U.S. Open Tennis, Masters Golf, the Indy 500, Little League World Series, and others for CBS Sports and ESPN and ABC Sports. He's also studio hosted for many of the major sporting events, including the World Cup and most notably the NFL Today on CBS. You know, Brent, when I read that and also think about your career, your long career, the one word that jumps to me is adaptable. Is that the word you'd apply to yourself?
Well, I think that's a pretty good word, and I think when you come into this business, Ron, and you're not a star athlete, I think you have to say, you know, I'll do whatever these folks want, whether it's empty the garbage cans or going out to cover women's softball. It doesn't matter. You just make yourself available, and I guess I have done that, and I think that the people that I have worked for have been aware of it and have appreciated it, and I think I've been blessed with a lot of things that different things that I've done through the years with the networks that I've worked for.
I know the late Kurt Gowdy told me about the impression that was left upon him growing up in Wyoming. You grew up in Billings, Montana. Tell me about the early years and how that affected the way you developed as a person as well as a broadcaster.
Well, I was in love with baseball at the time, Ron, back in the day. And my father, who ran an appliance business in Billings, started the Little League Baseball program in the state of Montana. And there were several major league players, actually, who came out. Dave McNally was a couple years younger than I was. He was certainly the most accomplished. Jerry Walters made the Cleveland Indians roster. And we had a couple other youngsters that found their way up to Major League Baseball. So it was a hotbed of baseball interest. There was a minor league team there. We did not have regular Saturday afternoon television, but we listened to the radio, to Al Helfer on the Mutual Game of the Week. And I was around sports. My father had also refereed, so I was around basketball a lot. And he loved football, and so I would go with him to the games. So sports, Ron, was a passion with me growing up in Montana. And when the late, great Arch Ward, the sports editor of the Chicago Tribune, came out with the Harlem Globetrotters for an exhibition game in Billings, I must have been about 8, 9 years old. I sat next to him and I said, "Mr. Ward, I would love to become a sports writer like you. Do you have any advice?" And he said, "Young man, just pick a good college and go study and stay close to sports, and maybe you'll be able to make it someday." Well, I took his advice and wound up at Northwestern, which obviously was in the shadow of the Tribune Tower. Went to work later for their afternoon paper, the Chicago American, and really that's how I got started. But it's always been a lifelong passion. I don't find it going to work in the morning. I find it just something that I've always loved.
I noticed that your early years included umpiring minor league baseball. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I was asked to leave Northwestern for a year because I had owned and operated a car as a freshman, which was illegal at the time. And I remember quite clearly the dean of students saying, "Brent, I know you've got a year off before you come back, and I was in the Marine Corps, and I would suggest that maybe you go join the Marines." And I looked at him, and I said, "Thank you very much, sir." And I left his office shaking my head, and I called my father, and was very disappointed in myself for breaking the rule. And he said, "You know, Brent, you love sports so much, and you're not going to go on as an athlete. Why don't you see about going to umpiring school in Florida?" So I went down to the then Al Summers School in Daytona Beach, Florida, and went down there and graduated and was offered a contract in the Class D Midwest League. And as I was finishing up in early September, the Eastern League came along and offered me a contract the following year. The Eastern League was known as a pitcher's league amongst umpires and those around baseball. And it really would have been a first step toward a full-time career with an eye on the major leagues down the road. But again, my father intervened and said, "No, you should go back to school and work some college games, intramural games. And if you want to go back to umpiring, you can. But go back to Northwestern because that's where you wanted to start." So I went back, got a part-time job with the Chicago American, and I never left to go back an umpire again. I worked intramural games, a lot of them in some college scrimmages around Northwestern at the time. But I enjoyed my career. I learned a lot about athletics as an umpire. You certainly learn to appreciate the officiating side of things. So for me, it was a great experience.
One of the things that I've always thought, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, Brent, is that the path that you followed, you came out of Northwestern's Medill School of Journalism, which is an outstanding school of journalism. You began your career, as you said, as a sports writer. I've always felt the fact that you had that foundation, that you came from that direction, gave you a strong basis for understanding sports, not only what was happening, but also why it was happening. Am I correct in that observation because you came along the written path, in a sense?
Yeah, Ron, I think you're absolutely right. I tell youngsters that it is very important to learn how to craft a sentence verbally, and I think the journalism school did that for me. I think I also learned, Ron, the difference between a good story and a bad story. I can recognize when people are interested in something and what is going to sell the broadcast as well as a newspaper. It was a background that I wouldn't trade for anything. I know that there are speech schools around the country that have done a fabulous job of turning out some great announcers through the years. But I've always really appreciated the background that I had. In fact, at one time, I anchored the news with Connie Chung in Los Angeles for about a year and a half and was offered a full-time job as a news reader down there. And it was at that time that I enjoyed the enthusiasm of sports and didn't want to leave it. But I had a decision to make, and I could have stayed on the news side of things. And all of it is because I had, as you say, that Medill School of Journalism background and came from that.
You know as well as I do that it says in the newspaper business, man's failures are chronicled on the front page, man's successes are chronicled on the sports page. At what point did you come to understand that?
Well, I think I understood it when I had to deal with the tragedies as a news broadcaster. You know, people would get down on us because we'd have so many negative stories that we were covering, and I couldn't tell them, you should see the stories, negative stories that we're not putting on the air. To go to a city like Los Angeles or Chicago or New York, any of the major metropolitan areas, and to look at the police report the next morning when you're putting your storylines together, not very uplifting. And I think it was Chief Justice Earl Warren who said that when he was in Washington and reading the Washington Post, he would always take the sports section out first because it made him feel good as he was eating breakfast and going forward in the day. And I find the same thing is very true, Ryan. And I think you said it very well, that the positive stories, although I must add that over the last few years, it has not seemed that way. I mean, there's a lot more of real news stories that have stepped in and have really taken the headlines in the sporting world. Kind of sad as we go through the stories that we have encountered in college football, for example, over the last 12, 14 months.
Do you think that's because money has dictated and driven sports, say, over the last 10, 15 years, Brent?
Yeah, I would guess it would. And then I think, Ron, that the athletes sit around with their friends and their family and they see these $5 million contracts going to some of the coaches, and they look at each other and they say, you know, what's in it for me? I would like, for example, now that we're talking about the college, for the NCAA to loosen up and make it possible for these youngsters to have a little more spending money. I look at some of the sums that the Miami youngsters are alleged to have taken from that convict, and in several cases, no more than $250 and maybe a party on a yacht somewhere, which to me doesn't seem like a whole lot when you're putting thousands of bodies into these stadiums and millions of dollars are coming in because of the television ratings from all the networks. I don't think they should be on salary, Ron. I think that would be a mistake. I think that, let's say, the women's volleyball team would go to court over Title IX and they would probably win that. In fact, I'm sure they would. And it also brings into play unemployment compensation, things of that nature, workman's comp, and I don't think that the college should have to deal with that. But I do think that they should lighten up, and that if a youngster goes down and shakes some hands for a car dealer and drives one of his used cars or something, I don't think that he should immediately lose his scholarship and be forced out for a year. I'm against that completely.
Brent Musburger has joined us on Sports Byline, and when we come back after the break, we're going to be talking to Brent about his path to CBS Sports and becoming the most prominent sportscaster and sports host during his period of time at CBS, and we'll also talk about other aspects of sports broadcasting. We do that as we continue across the country and around the world on Sports Byline.